Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to the third epistle of John, back to the commendation of Gaius in verses 5 and 6. Back to guidelines for Christian participation in the work of the gospel that comes through strong and clear and very helpfully in the shortest epistle in the New Testament. And you may recall that the Apostle John is writing to a man named Gaius, who is obviously committed to the Lord and thoroughly involved in the work of the gospel. There's no evidence that he is a preacher. There really is no indication of what position he may hold in the church, though it's pretty evident that he is a member of a church and involved in a church, as all obedient Christians surely are. If they are following the scriptures, they definitely are. But what he was exactly, we're not told, except that he was one who helped others who were involved in the work of the ministry. He was not a preacher. At least no evidence of that. He was not a church officer. Again, at least no evidence of that in the epistle. But what he was a man who used the resources that God had given him to provide hospitality, encouragement, and financial aid to gospel preachers, to missionaries, to those gospel workers who are involved in advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was, that's what he did, and I think you would agree with me that what he did was every bit as much important as what the missionaries and evangelists that he was helping did. Who's more important in the work of the Lord? The one who preaches the word, or those who pray for him and support him financially so that he can do the work of the ministry? How could you possibly make a choice between those two options as to which is most important to the work of the ministry? Obviously, they both are. And I would venture to say, and I don't think I can be successfully contradicted in this from Scripture, that they are equally important. You cannot elevate the importance of one above another. And so, dear friend, you may not be a preacher. Most of you are not. But you can be just as vitally, significantly, and essentially involved in the work of preaching, in the work of spreading the gospel, as those who are called to the work of gospel proclamation. That's important to know. Well, thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, July 10. Many thanks for those of you who financially support the work of the Beacon Broadcast. You may not be able to come to this radio microphone and teach the Word of God, but it can only happen when there are enough people willing to help financially. And that's exactly what Gaius was, one who helped financially. We read the first two verses of the main body of the epistle, namely verses 5 and 6. John says to Gaius, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well." Well, we've already looked at the encouraging commendation. John addresses him as a beloved brother, and as a faithful Christian, you are doing faithfully. And he mentions a favorable report that has come to him, has come to the church where John is a member in the city of Ephesus, where John resides at this time. And we begin to get the picture of what's taking place here, namely that the church at Ephesus, which would no doubt have been the largest one in the territory of Asia Minor, more or less the mother church of all the other churches, and the church in Ephesus was sending out gospel workers. They were sending out preachers in teams. They were sending out evangelists and missionaries who were traveling from place to place, and were traveling to from city to city and from church to church. And when they came to the church where Gaius was a member, he helped them by providing hospitality, lodging, and food, and financial aid so that they could continue the work. And when they came back to Ephesus and gave their mission report, they mentioned Gaius specifically. Who else did they mention? We don't know. Were there any others that they mentioned? We don't know. But we do know that Gaius was mentioned in that report to the church. You do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. That's the encouraging commendation. But secondly, we see an edifying request. That's the last part of verse 6. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Now, wait a minute, you say. He's already done that. He's already sent them forward on their journey. And they have received help from him. They have accomplished their mission. They have returned to the church. They've reported to the church. So what is this? If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Well, clearly, they have gone out on another mission. These are missionaries. These are evangelists in the biblical sense of the term, which is really more like a missionary in our modern vocabulary and way of speaking of gospel workers. And missionaries go out and complete an assignment. They complete we generally call it a term of service. They go home on what we in our day call furlough. They report to their home church and to their supporting churches. And then after they've had an opportunity to get the medical attention they need and whatever other details need to be taken care of, what do? They go out on another term of missionary service. And that's exactly what we see here. And so the Apostle John is making a quiet appeal, a quiet solicitation to Gaius to help them again. Let's read the two verses again, and I think you'll see that. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren who are strangers to him, because they weren't part of his church, but they came with the recommendation of the Apostle John and the church at Ephesus, and that's all he needed. That's all the endorsement he needed in order to believe them to be worthy of his support. So you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren who are strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. Now this, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Here is an edifying request. And why do I call it an edifying request? That's a rather strange term, I think, in many ways, and you probably have never heard anything by that particular terminology before, an edifying request. We talk about requests of various kinds, but edifying request, a request that builds up? Well, hear me out, and perhaps you'll agree with me before I'm done. Now, the first thing we notice about this request is that it was requested politely. If you do this, what I'm asking you to do, you will do well. You'll be doing a good job. It sounds like a commendation, and he's already commended him, and it sounds like he's commending them in advance because he thinks Gaius is going to respond to this request. But it turns out, you will do well, is actually a first century idiom. What is an idiom? It's a figure of speech that doesn't mean literally what the words indicate, but is a figure of speech that is used commonly enough so that everybody understands what it means. If I said, "Oh, come on, you're pulling my leg," that's an idiom. Nobody in America, certainly, from an American cultural standpoint, nobody would think that I literally meant that you have grabbed a hold of my leg and are tugging on it. That's not what that idiom means. It means that you are kidding me, that you're fooling me, that you're misleading me in some way. Generally, that means in a humorous way. You're pulling a joke on me. You're pulling my leg. And this phrase, "you will do well," is likewise an idiom, and it translates roughly into the simple word "please." If you send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. But really what he's saying is, please send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Please send them forward on their journey. In other words, please continue to help them as you have in the past. It is a polite request, but it is a bold request. Send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Send them, the traveling evangelists sent out by John from Ephesus, send them, those who had visited Gaius previously and had been helped by him previously, send them forward on their journey. Help them, what he's saying is, help them with the expenses of their itinerant ministry. They will continue to travel and preach. They will return to your church again. They will require the help of God's people to fulfill their assignment, so please help them again. And the standard of help that John is asking for is, in the words of this verse, in a manner worthy of God. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, or probably better translated, please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. What does that mean? Well, it could mean treat them in the way that Christ would be treated by you, that he should be treated by you. Jesus, who said, "I commend you because I was a stranger and you took me in." Well, when did we do that, Lord? Well, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. But how would you treat Christ? How would you help Christ? How would you provide support and encouragement for Christ if he were doing this? Well, I think you'd do it in a very generous way, in the most generous way that you were able to do. So it either means treat them in the way that Christ should be treated, in a manner worthy of God, or treat them in a manner which God would approve. Same thing, really, willingly, generously, enthusiastically, gratefully, not reluctantly, begrudgingly, or resentfully. That's the request. I am please asking you to help them again in as generous a way as you possibly can. He's being a bit indirect, he's being very polite, but Gaius understood the idioms and the language, and he knew exactly what John was requesting. We'll take it up again tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.